This is Lamentations 5, 1 through 2, and 14 through 22. Remember, Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. The elders are gone from the city gate. The young men have stopped their music. Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are faint. Because of this, our eyes grow dim. For Mount Zion, which lies desolate, with jackals prowling over it. You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. My name is Andrew, for those of you who don't know. Today we are continuing our series on lament based on a book by Mark Vogrup, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy. Today's sermon is based off of chapter 8, and full disclosure, this has been used with permission from Mark, and a majority of my sermon comes directly from chapter 8, and so I don't take full credit for everything that is said here, but it is very good, and I have learned a lot in studying for it. So, thinking back on where we started this series, week one, we learned about lament, what lament is. Lamenting is a crying out to God. Most often and through complaint or sometimes in anguish or in anger. Lament includes a cry to God to do something about what is happening and ends with an expression of trust in God. After learning about what lament is and how to lament, we then turned to the question is, okay, what can we learn from lament or from lamenting as we lament? Tony brought us a message on a broken world and a holy God, learning that even in accepting, yes, that we live in a broken world and we have a holy God in our world, there's more that God has for us to see. And he wants to open our eyes to that. Larissa followed the following week said, where does our hope lie? Our hope should lie in God. And of course, if you want more on these, their sermons are still online. You can go back and look at them. And then last week, Anya shared how lament teaches us to unearth our idols and to give up those things that we have been holding back from God. For God to break us of those things. If you don't think you have any idols, I would say that we need to lament and open our hearts up to God and allow God to show us what those are. Now, the next part of lament today, we're talking about how lament is a roadmap to grace. How we can learn about God's grace and accept God's grace through lamenting. And be open and receptive to it. We just came out of a series before this series based on how God's grace is greater than everything that we can experience. So the title of the series was Grace is Greater. I won't go into that a whole lot, but if you want to go back, that series was based on a book called Grace is Greater by Kyle Eidelman. And if you want to go back and watch the series, it is on Facebook. All that said, how often in your life have you come to a point in your life where you're shouting, why? Or how can this happen? How, God, have you allowed this to happen? Sarah talked about in her testimony in the first week how she pleaded with God, she's like, God, I don't understand what is happening. Why is this? And this lament season in her life was, she said it was years. Lament is not always quick. Oftentimes it is not. And as we find from reading this final chapter in Lamentations, there is no resolution. that is expressed in the book of Lamentations. Sometimes we come to the end of our lament and we still have questions and we still feel unsettled. And yet God is still at work. I'm going to read a portion from the book here. Mark gives a story of lament from a family in Indiana. A man named Brian is an attorney with a neighborhood Christian legal clinic. Every day he uses his legal skills to relieve injustice in Indianapolis. He advocates for people whose poverty makes them targets for abuse. He sees community pain daily, but Brian and his wife Melissa had a front row seat to a new tragedy a few years ago. In a moment of personal crisis, they learned the value of lament. Actually, they learned how to lead in lament. Brian and Melissa lived in a quiet neighborhood in the west side of Indianapolis, a middle-class community of young families, playgroups for kids, caring neighbors, the kind of neighborhood filled with children laughing on playsets, bikes everywhere, and backyard barbecues. On November 10th, 2015, this peaceful neighborhood was shattered by a home invasion and a brutal murder. One morning, three armed men targeted a neighbor's house. It belonged to a young couple who moved to Indianapolis with the dream of planting a church. After the husband left for the gym, the men entered the home. Amanda, pregnant 28-year-old mother, was murdered while her toddler slept in his crib. The senseless slaying shook the city and drew the national media attention. The police interviewed neighbors, reviewing security footage, and searched the city for three men. While Brian and Melissa, along with another couple from their church, walked their neighborhood through the grief that invaded their neighborhood, they opened their home for lament. The first night, over 50 neighbors came, crowding in their living room to read the Bible, to pray and weep together. Many were believers, others were not, but all of them were in pain. The tragedy brought them together, and Brian became their guide. Every weekday evening for 3 weeks, Brian and Melissa's home became a place of lament as they waited for the suspects to be caught. As their neighbors tried to recover, they used Psalm 13 as their base text. It says, "How long, O Lord?" allowing it to direct them toward trust and worship over the weeks. The size of the group varied, but Brian's home became a sanctuary for sorrow. Sometimes we need to allow ourselves, if it's not a direct lament to us, to be able to sit and cry with people. In the final chapter of Lamentations, Jeremiah concludes this book with three prayers in 21 verses. In verse 1, we hear, "Remember, Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace." He starts out by turning to God and saying, "Remember us." Now, this remembrance is a call to God to intervene in their lives based on his love and promises, a theme that is not absent from the rest of Scripture. The couple of examples there would be in Noah's life when God remembered him when he was still in the ark and called for the rains to stop. And then after he exited the ark in chapter 9, verses 15 through 16 of Genesis, God says, "I will remember my covenant with you. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant that I promise never to rain, flood the earth again." Deuteronomy 9:27, Moses pleads with God on behalf of the Israelites who had just committed idolatry and turning from God to the golden calf. God's ready to smite them all, get rid of them. And Moses says, "Please overlook the stubbornness and the awful sin of these people and remember instead your servant Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And David in Psalms 25 cried out for mercy based on God's remembering. In Lamentations, Jeremiah is crying out for God's grace based on God's character. Central to this plea is the feeling of shame. He cries out, "See our disgrace." Now, growing up culturally for me, at least around me, the culture would say that crying is disgraceful, to cry in public. If you have heard me preach several times before, the past several times, I have not made it through without crying. I'm not above crying. Crying is important. It can be a healing thing. But for many, crying can be embarrassing. And to lament encourages us to embrace our shame and our sorrow, to look through the fog of life for the grace of God's remembrance. Now we talk about the pain that we read in Lamentations 5. The roadmap to grace involves an appeal for God to remember, while at the same time rehearsing the pain that is in the life. In Lamentations 5, 2 through 18, it paints a very dismal picture for what Israel is facing. Foreign invaders have destroyed the nation in verse 2. People feel abandoned in verse 3. Survival is very hard in verse 4. They are exhausted in verse 5. They must appeal to foreign nations in verse 6, while bearing the consequences of national sin in verse 7. Upheaval marks their culture in verse 8. While desperation and hunger is everywhere in verse 9 and 10. Women are violated in verse 11. Princes are dishonored in verse 12. Oppression rules the day in verse 13. Celebrations have ceased, verses 14 through 15. The glory of Israel has vanished. Hopelessness has set in, and wild animals now roam the streets. And in all of that, we come to verse 19. Restoration doesn't come through denial. We cannot be restored if we don't realize we need to be restored, that there is something wrong. So what would happen if we as Christians were willing to walk boldly into darkness and walk with others in talking to God about their pain? So we ask God to remember us because of his great grace. Verse 19, the second prayer, "You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation." When we look at the laundry list of troubles that Israel is facing, we come to verse 19 and see the confession that God is still in control. You might wonder, how is it comforting and helpful if life often feels out of control? God may feel distant. Evil appears to be winning the day. I am sure you've felt that many times. I know that I have in my life. Or maybe you're walking with somebody else whose storyline appears to be cruel. Lamentation shows us that God's sovereignty and his reign are not negated by suffering. God is still in control, even through the loss. Lament affirms God's sovereignty when dark clouds linger. A verse in Acts 2, 23 through 24, Peter is preaching. He says, "But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grips." Why did I read that? Because God reigned when Jesus died. The cruel death of the Son of God by the hands of wicked men was a part of God's plan. And if God can take the most unjust moment in human history and turn it into redemption, then surely we can say, "Lord, you reign." Even when we cannot imagine how God might use hard circumstances in our lives, we can still believe he is in control. The presence of pain, no matter how strong, does not negate the plan of God. He still reigns. Therefore, we can tearfully pray one last prayer from Lamentations. 5:21, we read, "Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old." The final prayer of Lamentations 5 is a prayer of restoration. The lament started with what is wrong, recognized that God reigns, and now is asking God, restore us. A longing for renewal, as David asked in Psalms 51, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me." Jeremiah's ministry was one of pleading with Israel to return to God, and the destruction of Jerusalem was part of God's plan. So to awaken the hearts of his people and bring them back to himself. That is also why Jeremiah ends Lamentations in a dark tone of God's judgment. And he says, "Unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure." The sorrow of Lamentations has its root in divine discipline. God's covenant nation strayed from faithfulness, and God will use pain to restore them. But that final prayer of renewal is not one only that is longed for, but it is a call to God to remember what he had promised. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 33 through 34, we read this, "But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And I will forgive their wickedness. I will never again remember their sins." Lament can tune your heart to seek more than just removal of pain. It invites us to say, "Remember, O Lord," and then, "You reign." And then, "God, restore us." In asking God to restore us, it can lead us to the greatest need of all, our need to be right with God. Lament is the language of a people who know how the story ends. As Christians, we should understand that sin is the reason for the pain behind our lament. The sorrow that we encounter leads us to the man of sorrow, Jesus, who came down to earth on a mission from God to provide restoration. The darkest day in history, followed by 3 days and an empty tomb, can give us hope and confidence that God is still on the throne. The resurrection gives Paul the confidence to write in Romans 8:18. "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later." So with all creation, we groan as we await the restoration and completion of Christ's victory. And we embrace the way of sorrow as a roadmap to God's grace. The conclusion to Mark's story about Brian and his wife. So 2 months after the shooting, the subsequent arrest of 3 men involved, Brian and Melissa opened their home again. The conversations about lament led to a 4-week study of a book on suffering. Believers and non-believers attended, wrestling with God's purpose in their pain. They were able to open their hearts, open their homes, to share God's grace with those in pain. The pain of sin that leads us to lament is a pathway for our opening our hearts to Christ's grace. As we prepare our hearts for communion, remember this: God's greatest sorrow is our greatest assurance. Christ came here on a mission. And the night before he would go to the cross, he sat and shared the Passover meal with his disciples. He took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body. Take and eat, each one of you." Then he took the cup and he said, "Take and drink in remembrance of me. This is my blood, which is shed for you." Then he said, "Remember, as often as you take of the bread and drink of the cup, remember me." Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love. And yes, we live in a world that is full of pain as a cause of sin. But it is your grace that is waiting at the door, even when we have no resolution. You still long to hold us in your arms.